ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD here on the program on Robbie and Rex Road. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on? How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I heard you and Stillman talking yesterday on the Power Hour. It was a really interesting conversation on the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders front. And, you know, we had Charles Robinson on yesterday talking about, you know, what the potential asking price, at least at the moment, could be to move up, and mentioned like three first-round picks or the value of that. We'll see as to whether or not that actually happens here. But if you're the Titans – and you're kind of looking at this, and all the signs seem to be taking a quarterback based on what they've not done at that position with their roster right now. Like, how attractive should a trade back still be in your mind to them? And how much is it as simple as you guys need a quarterback, you've got an opportunity to select one here and start to elevate your franchise and Cam Ward, just go do it?
Yeah, you know, to me, the offer needs to be like Carry Champion level attractive. Like, it has to be an offer that you just can't say no to. And I say that because this is a team that needs a quarterback. This is a coach that needs to show his worth. And I think it's a franchise that wants to allow the coach to do that. And then Cam Ward, by the way, is a pretty good prospect. So for me, it would take an awful lot to move off of it. I don't think the Titans should move unless they get an offer along the lines of what Charles Robinson said. Like, that's one where I'd be like, okay, you know what? Yeah, we might just have to make that move. But otherwise, I'm chilling. I'm a stick and pick.
Do you, you know, we had Stilly on earlier. I'm sure he said this to you yesterday too. Do you buy, I guess, the idea that this all shows that they don't necessarily love Cam Ward? You know, if they loved him, it'd be over, you know, and it would have been clear from all along. Meanwhile, it seems like they're making sure it's out there that they're still listening.
Yeah, listen, he needs to be somewhere like with George Lucas, you know, Spike Lee, those guys, you know, the storyline. Like, he has a very good ability to make up storylines. Look, not coming out and saying, hey, this is our guy, or not coming out and saying, hey, we refuse trades or anything like that. What do they gain from that? Literally, what do they gain from it? Nothing, right? What do they lose if they do that? Well, you lose the opportunity where a desperate team would you know, reach out to you. Like, I think what they're doing is fine. They're playing it kind of by the rules, right? You know, just keeping it coy and not devoting themselves to either direction, but and keeping both doors open, which to me is smart business. Now, talking to Cam, they could tell him, hey, look, man, like, we really like you. We would like to make you the pick. But I don't see any reason why they should have to shut a door on anything.
So, TD, I want to bring up Brian Callahan with you because, you know, I was somebody that at the end of last year would have loved for the Titans to just clean house. Like, if you're going to fire Brant Carthon, I probably would have liked to have seen them fire Callahan as well. Obviously, they didn't, so that part of it's irrelevant now. But if you draft Cam Ward, and let's say next season, you know, you see a little bit of progress from Cam Ward, you're feeling good about it, but the win-loss total doesn't improve all that much based on where their roster is right now. Like, to me, what I don't want to see happen is Cam Ward get drafted, they go through a year with Brian Callahan, and then they immediately fire Brian Callahan, and Cam Ward's in year two going with another coach and learning a new system and doing all those things. We see that happen too often in the NFL. So how do you view the drafting of Cam Ward and what that could mean for Brian Callahan if that's the way they go?
So basically what you're telling me is you don't want to see what happened in Chicago happen here.
That is correct.
That's essentially, yeah. Right. And I agree with you. I think it's bad for business, right? And so, you know, you want Brian Callahan to win. You want the franchise to do better. I think drafting Cam Ward is just simply going to help that, because, you know, the one thing that I do see from Cam that kind of separates me from you know, what I look at with Shador is the ability to make others better, right? I think Shador can kind of do that, but he's one of those guys that's going to, you know, function within the system. He'll make some really good, accurate throws and keep things moving. Like I said yesterday, kind of like a high-end Ryan Tannehill to me.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at Cam Ward and the dynamic plays that he could make, you know, not only off schedule, but, you know, within the structure of offense too, I think that just opens up a lot more things for a Calvin Ridley, for a Bryce Oliver, you know, for whoever they should draft. So I definitely think Cam Ward puts him in the right direction.
So TD, do you, you know, kind of on the other side of, you know, this, you know, I mean, I expect him to take Cam Ward. It looks to me like, you know, it looks to me like probably some kind of deal to move Will Levis for, you know, a low round pick swap is probably, you know, probably likely. You know, we did have Charles Robinson yesterday talking about how, like, Cleveland and they're sort of some weirdness with what they're doing, and the quarterback, they have the private workout with Cam Ward. The Giants signed the two guys. I mean, it's still, you know, it doesn't necessarily end it for them. But then you have, you know, you've got the Saints who have everybody at Cam Ward's thing. You have, you know, the Steelers are there. We're wondering what the heck they're going to do with the position. Like, do you think there is anybody who like might actually throw like something significant to try to get this guy?
Well, I mean, a team like the Saints, you know, the Steelers, they're going to have to do that in order to move up and get where they are. You know, that would have to be a big-time move, you know, a king's ransom, so to speak, you know, to move up to there. I think you look at it, the Browns, I don't think what they're doing is strange. Just look, they have the number two pick. If they decide to try to swap pick, it's important to work Cam out and see him and do all that as part of the process. So I think the Browns, they really hold the key to everything, you know, because the Giants, why would the Titans trade with the Giants if they felt that, you know, they can't get Shador or Cam, right? And the only way that they can't get one of the two is if, you know, the Browns pick. So it's just a little bit jumbled up top, but I don't see either of them going later. You know, well, Cam, we know he's going one, but Shador, like, I don't see him making it past, like, the Raiders at 7, to be honest with you.
So, TD, I'm totally with you on pick 35 and how intriguing that could be for the Titans in terms of the idea of moving down there. I'm torn, though, because it in some ways, to me, it's kind of similar to number one. Like, you could move off number one and get some picks and stockpile your draft capital that way. At the same time, TD, at 35, like, I'd love to trade back. But if there's, you know, a wide receiver or an edge rusher there, I mean, you brought up Landon Jackson yesterday, and I'm totally with you. Like, I think that guy is really, really good. Like, so right. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I love the idea of trading back and picking up more picks, but if one of those guys there is there at 35, it's going to be hard for me if I'm the Titans to turn that down, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, I said Raiders at 7. I'm in at 6. I know the Jets pick 7, so don't kill me, folks in the chat, whatever.
How dare you?
you're right. At 35, like, there should be an opportunity to get prospects that were predicted to be in the first round. And that's why those first three or so picks, like, they're always so hot, you know, on day two, because it's like, wait a second. Because the dust clears, and you know, they're like, hold up, man.
Yeah.
This dude dropped? Let me go get him, you know. And I think, you know, you saw the Titans do that a couple years ago, you know, when they moved up to get Will Levis. And we know they were attempting to move up towards the back end of the first round to get him. But they saw he was still there, and they jumped up and they got him. And I think that's something that you'll see teams try to do. But to your point, like, there could be a prospect like a Landon Jackson, you know, a Donovan Ezeraku, like those types there. And if they're there at 35, I think you need to jump on them. But then the thing you got to weigh out is like, okay, so you got Donovan Ezeraku, you got Landon Jackson, they're available. You got Kyle Kinnard.
Yep.
How far back can you move to get him and still get some compensation? And if you can do that, what's the difference between the two? Like, can you afford to go from those guys to Kinnard? And I think that's something else that they have to weigh out. And it's a process. But, I mean, you look at the edge defenders. Like I said yesterday, outside of Max Crosby, for the most part, most of these guys are obtained with like a top 40 pick. So you almost have to, if you want to impact for one, you have to get them early. You know, day one, obviously, but then early day two.
TD, what's your read on the Abdul Carter thing? With the, you know, like now all of a sudden no pro day and, you know, talking about the shoulder, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, back at the combine, you know, when that came, I remember jumping on Jared's show, you know, on the Power Hour that Thursday after it came out. And I was like, you know what, if I'm him, I don't work out. Like, do you not have enough film to see that I'm an impact player? Do you not have enough? I think really the big thing with him is they have to figure out, okay, did that injury happen during the year or did it happen during training? Because if it happened during the year and he played the way he did, all right, cool. You know what? We're just going to get that thing some time to heal. Stay off your feet, young man. And you know, the shoulder will allow that to heal a little bit too. And when it's time to roll you out, we'll roll you out. But we'll get the benefit in the back end of the year. But if it happened during training, then it's like, okay, wait a minute. Is this enough to impact like his extreme get off, his athleticism, his ability to run plays down on the other side of the line of scrimmage? So it takes some balancing. The main thing is finding out when it happened.
Well, TD, thanks as always for being with us today here on the program. We are inching ever closer to the draft, thankfully, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it. And if anybody gets a chance, you know, check out Talking with TD. We did HBCU edition. We had Alabama A&M offensive lineman Carson Vincent, who, you know, he was a combine standout and a Senior Bowl standout. And then, you know, I like to leave no rock unturned. So we reached out to Langston University in Oklahoma, a D2 NAIA, you know, HBCU. And we got Travis Martin, a DB, who's drawing some attention. So definitely check it out.
Absolutely. Check that out, Talking with TD. TD joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Here on the program. Thank you, sir.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. Teron Davenport with us on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. Got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.